Sunday the 20th of August 2017, 10:45 service. Sermon series, Samson, A Game of Two Halves. Sermon title, Fallen Love is Lust. Bible reading, Judges chapter 16, verses 1 to 20, talk by Reverend Martin Court.
Samson and Delilah. Judges 16, chapter 16, verses 1 to 20. One day, Samson went to Gaza, where he saw a prostitute. He went in to spend the night with her. The people of Gaza were told, "Samson is here." So they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the city gate. They made no move during the night, saying, "At dawn we will kill him." But Samson lay there only until the middle of the night. Then he got up and took hold of the doors of the city gate, together with the two posts, and tore them loose, bar and all. He lifted them to his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. Sometime later, he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. The rulers of the Philistines went to her and said, "See if you can lure him into showing you the secret of his great strength and how we can overpower him so that we may tie him up and subdue him. Each one of us will give you 1,100 shekels of silver." So Delilah said to Samson, "Tell me the secret of your great strength and how you can be tied up and subdued." Samson answered her, "If anyone ties me with 7 fresh thongs that have not been dried, I'll become as weak as any other man." Then the rulers of Philistines brought her 7 fresh thongs that had not been dried, and she tied him with them. With men hidden in the room, she called to him, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." But he snapped the thongs as easily as a piece of string snaps when it comes close to a flame. So the secret of his strength was not discovered. Then Delilah said to Samson, "You have made a fool of me. You lied to me. Come now, tell me how you can be tied." He said, "If anyone ties me securely with new ropes that have never been used, I'll become weak as any other man." So Delilah took new ropes and tied him with them. Then, with men hidden in the room, she called to him, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." But he snapped the ropes off his arms as if they were threads. Delilah then said to Samson, "Until now you have been making a fool of me and lying to me. Tell me how you can be tied." He replied, "If you weave the 7 braids of my head into the fabric of the loom and tighten it with the pin, I'll become as weak as any other man." So while he was sleeping, Delilah took the 7 braids of his head, wove them into the fabric, and tightened it with the pin. Again she called to him, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." He awoke from his sleep and pulled up the pin and the loom with the fabric. Then she said to him, "How can you say I love you when you won't confide in me? This is the 3rd time you have made a fool of me and haven't told me the secret of your great strength." With such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was tired to death. So he told her everything. "No razor has ever been used on my head," he said, "because I have been a Nazarite set apart to God since birth. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me, and I would become as weak as any other man. When Delilah saw that he had told her everything, she sent word to the rulers of the Philistines. Come back once more. He has told me everything. So the rulers of the Philistines returned with the silver in their hands. Having put him to sleep on her lap, she called a man to shave off the 7 braids of his hair, and so began to subdue him, and his strength left him. This is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God.
Thank you, Christine. Always good to go to church, I think, and hear the vicar talk about sex, and especially today with so many babies in the place. But as you know, we squeeze this baptismal service in, and it falls in this series of talks that we're doing about this guy called Samson. Bold before men, but weak before women. And sadly, like in rugby, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. He had been chosen by God, gifted by God, to overcome the Philistines. You remember the story of David and Goliath? Well, Goliath was a Philistine. And Samson, like David, had been sent to rescue Israel from the Philistines. And he's a big guy, this Samson, strong. But this is a story, as we've just heard, that when Delilah cuts his hair off, he loses all of his strength. And that's the thing, he's strong before men, but he's weak before women. And the guys in here today will know exactly what that's like when you're out for a drink in the bar, and on the other side of the bar there's this gorgeous cracker with long flowing hair and big personality, gorgeous eyes. And you know what's coming next. It's going to be a dig in the ribs, and the missus saying, "Here, what are you looking at?" There's an old saying, how do you impress a woman? You compliment her, you cuddle her, wine her, dine her, lavish her with gifts, listen to her, respect her, protect her, and always support her. How do you impress a man? Arrive naked and bring beer. We all know it's true, no different for Samson. Do you know what his first recorded words are? I saw a woman. He's not interested in her personality, her intellect. He's not interested even whether she supports the mighty Tottenham Hotspur or not. He's just smitten by her looks. King David did the same with a woman in the bath, you remember, Bathsheba. Never mind that, true story. In Bournemouth, I used to work in newspaper wholesale. We started at 2 o'clock in the morning, finished at 5 in the afternoon. I was doing about 83 hours a week. I loved it, it was great fun. We would pack the papers and then we would take them out around all the shops, delivering them off. And a job that I inherited was dropping off the boss's papers. He lived near a new run that I had been given to deliver. And so it was down to me to drop his papers off as I went by. And sure enough, the very first morning I went there, about 5 o'clock in the morning, it was still dark. I pulled up outside his house, and as I'm pulling up outside his house, I noticed in the house next door, the light was off, but I could see an old boy up there with a cup of coffee in his hand, intently staring out the window. And I think to myself, that's strange. Wonder what he's looking at. So I look across the road, and across the road, in the house opposite, upstairs, is the bathroom. The bathroom window is open, the bathroom light is on, and there's a 30-year-old something naked woman wandering around, getting herself ready to go to work. Question. How did he get to be standing in a darkened room with his coffee cup watching her? Answer, first time by accident, he probably went to the loo, but second time because he set his alarm. And he's got himself a coffee and he's sitting in waiting for the show. Temptation catches our eye, doesn't it? And people say to me, Martin, he say, why do you bother reading the Bible? Well, two reasons. Firstly, it tells me about the fallen nature of the world. It tells me that the world was right when God first made it, but then this thing called sin came into the world, and I don't understand it fully, but the Bible tells me that sin has twisted everything. And I can see that as I look around. Earthquakes, cancer, bad things happening, but it includes happening in us. Not only in our bodies, but in our emotions, in the way that we behave. And then the Bible tells me how to live my life as well as I can, trying to avoid those things. It tells me that God is going to put everything right again, and that I can partner with God now to stop some of those fallen things happening in my life. The truth is, sex and sexual desire are wonderful gifts from God, but they are so powerful, God says, that the only place for them is in marriage, where they're going to be bounded by love, where they're going to be ruled by consent, where the deeper emotional bondings that sex bring can be housed. But like everything else in life, when the sin comes, all our desires got corrupted, twisted from what God intended for us. We don't have to look far to see the effects of lust, do we? And I don't mean just in divorce and broken families and all the hurt that that causes. I wonder if you knew this. In 2016, more Viagra was prescribed to men under 35 than to men over 45 in this country. Why? Because more and more young men are watching pornography these days, and the deep feelings that they're getting from that are ones of inadequacy. What they think is going to spice up their life actually does the very opposite. In our society, sexual freeness is becoming so prevalent that sex education is now being taught in our primary schools to try to protect our youngsters from the world of freeness that we are building for them. Sex is no longer the glue of marriage. It's something that's just there to satisfy me. Ask Tiger Woods what casual sex has done for his life. And do you know why? Because his dad did it. And he thought it was okay. What are we learning? What are we teaching each other? Anne was six. She comes home from school. She just had a sex education lesson. How did it go? Asked Mum. Oh, she said, I was really embarrassed. Why is that? Said Mum. Well, the teacher asked where babies come from. Karen said the stork brings them. Sally said you have to buy them in the orphanage. Peter says you have to go down the hospital and pay for them. Well, that's not very embarrassing, she said to her daughter. Well, said Anne, I didn't like to tell them that you and Dad were so poor you had to make us yourself. Three things, folks, three things that Samson teaches us about lust. And the first is this, only you can stop the downward spiral. Lots of Bible writers are very clever people. They use words very well. And this writer is no exception. He does two things when he's writing about Samson. Firstly, whenever he's writing about Samson who's going to go and do something that he shouldn't do, he says that Samson goes downward. In our reading today, it just says that Samson went to Gaza. But when Samson first goes to Gaza in chapter 14, he said he goes down into Gaza. And there he sees a woman. Our twisted world never lifts us up, folks. It'll only ever drag us down. And then the second thing the writer describes is when Samson crosses borders. You remember that God had led Israel to the promised land, Canaan, this land flowing with milk and honey, where everything was fantastic. That's where Samson starts off. But it says that when he goes down, he goes across the border from the promised land into the Philistine land. This isn't geographical, this is spiritual. Sin comes when we go down into the darkness of temptation and when we cross borders that we know are wrong. And we do it so well, so well. The boss and his secretary are having an affair. And one afternoon they meet up, they get very, very passionate, they go back to her place and who knows what happens. But at the end of it, they fall asleep. They don't wake up till 8 o'clock in the evening. Oh my goodness, what are we going to do? He starts throwing his clothes on. He says to her, take my shoes out, darling, rub them in the grass out in the garden. And by the time you've done that, I'll be dressed. She doesn't know what she's doing, but she takes the shoes out, rubs them in, brings them back in, he puts them on, he goes home. The wife says, where on earth have you been? He says, darling, he says, I'm ever so sorry, he said, I'm having an affair with my secretary. He said, we've got into the heats of passion. He said, we fell asleep. I didn't wake up till 8 o'clock and I've just come home. She looks down at his shoes. She said, you're lying to me. You've been out playing golf again. Here's the truth. What if that was a real marriage? Where do you think that marriage is going? None of us get married for fun. We marry because we love. But the world is fallen and it tries to twist our love. When we start to cross borders, it means that we've wandered far from home. We're away from all that would protect us and keep us from giving into temptation. Eventually, Samson meets Delilah. He thought he was in control of the seduction, but in the end, it's the seduction, of course, that catches him. And if you read the story, Christine read it beautifully there. What was happening? The seduction just keeps coming back. Delilah kept coming back time and time and time again. Never gives up. Folks, there's only one person who can stop the seductions in life leading us astray. And I'm talking to the women as well as the men here. And it's you. It's you. Another true story. I was in the CID back in the day. We're 25 years. I've been married 31 years. So 25 years ago, pre-children. I'm investigating a burglary down on Bournemouth Beach. Fish and chip shop had got burgled. You wouldn't believe it. You can't write this stuff, can you? The burglar had dropped his false tooth. By the grace of God, I got a tick on the box for that. Anyway, so I'm down there investigating it, and the manageress is a lovely girl. Here's another thing about temptation. It'll only come when things are going badly at home. She's about my age, she's a gorgeous looker, and we start growing closer and closer in our relationship together. And one day she says, Martin, I'll walk you back to your car. And beautiful sunny day, I had me suit on, me shades on, I looked the business, off we went. Get back to the car, and we just stand there face to face. And as true as I am stood here today, we were both of us waiting for me to ask her out. And I am praying prayers. I'm looking into her eyes, but I am praying prayers up to heaven. Because I am saying, God, you have got to get in here because I am not strong enough. I am going to cross a border if you don't get in here now. Guys, here's the thing. By the grace of God, I felt this wave of absolute strength come down through me. I bent over, picked up my case, got in my car, said goodbye, drove off. This is important stuff for us. Only you can say yes or no. Let me tell you this also. Samson, when Samson was strong, all of his good strength came from God when he partnered with God. That's why I partner with God. That's why I was praying that day, because I know he can get me out of this even if I can't. God wants the very best for us, and he is strong when we are weak. You know the thing that really racks me as I look back on that? If I had made the wrong decision that day, I would never have known my children. That's how important this stuff is to us. That's why God puts it in the Bible, because he wants you to live well. And he's saying, do you see the pitfalls, guys? We've got to stop the downward spiral, and the only person that can do that is you. Number two, you will reap whatever it is you sow. Mild-mannered man was tired of being bossed around by his wife. He goes to a psychiatrist. The psychiatrist tells him he needs to get more self-esteem, and the psychiatrist gives him a book on assertiveness. He reads it on his way home. By the time he gets home, he's read the whole book. He bursts in through the door. Goes up to his wife, points a finger in her face. He says, right from now on, he says, I'm going to wear the trousers in this house. My word is law. He said, I want you to make me a really sumptuous dinner tonight. Gorgeous gourmet food. He said, after I've eaten that, he said, I want a lovely sweet pudding. When you've done that, I said, I want you to go up, run me a bath. And when I come out of the bath, having relaxed and cleansed myself, he said, do you know who's going to dress me and comb my hair? And without batting an eyelid, the woman looks back and said, yeah, it'll be the undertaker. We love trying to get away with it, don't we? I don't need to tell you there's lots of things in life that we shouldn't do, but the trouble is they taste so good, don't they? And we just fall for that taste. And I'm not meaning just chocolate, lots of things taste good, but let me remind you, I took my 11th Imodium when I was on holiday and all the food tasted really good. My point is this, not everything that tastes good is actually good for you. That is what seduction means. To seduce you, to make you feel warm and cuddly and cozy inside, when what is actually happening might not be good for you at all. In John 10, John was one of the gospel writers. He was a friend of Jesus, and he wrote a gospel. And in that gospel, he recalls when Jesus is teaching about the devil, and Jesus calls him a thief. And he says, the thief comes to kill and destroy. Kill and destroy your life and mine. The tricks of temptation are that sin looks so appealing, even feels great when we're doing it, but ultimately, the devil's got us on a hook and the temptation was just the bait that he was using to hurt us with. The devil wants our lives to fall apart, our marriages, our work, every aspect of our living. I believe it fully. And each and every single day, you and I will be faced with the same thing that Alice in Wonderland was faced with. Remember, she got to the two rabbit holes. Which one am I going to go down? Which way am I going to go? Am I going to live in the light or am I going to live in darkness? Because both of those rabbit holes have got consequences. When Samson chose badly, his life fell apart. Every time he chose wisely, every time he partnered with God, he was blessed. And God is saying to you and to me, guys, that's going to happen in your life. By the grace of God, on that day in that car park, I chose God. And I've been blessed ever since, married 31 years, two beautiful children. When we partner with God, he leads us on a better path. He strengthens us. He helps us. That's what the Bible is all about, helping us to make good choices. We have to stop the downward spiral because we will reap whatever it is we sow. And then lastly, we've got to stay awake. Did you read when Delilah was trying to trick Samson? It's when he's sleeping, when he's lying in her lap, slumbering. During the wedding rehearsal, the groom approached the priest with the unusual offer. He said, listen, he said to the vicar, he said, if I give you 100 quid... He said, when we get to the bit in the ceremony when I'm supposed to say this, I promise to honour you and love you and obey you and be faithful and all of that. He said, can we just miss it out? Here's 100 quid. Say no more to the taxman. The service goes ahead. They get to that very point. The groom's vows. The priest looks at the young man in the eye. And he says this. He says, young man, he says, will you prostrate yourself before this woman? Will you obey her every command and her every wish? Will you serve her breakfast in bed every morning of your life and swear eternally before God and your lovely wife that you will never even look at another woman? And the guy's kind of, oh, he says, I do. And then he leans forward and he says, here, vicar, he says, I thought we had a deal. And the vicar puts the 100 quid back in his hand. He said, yeah, he said, but your wife gave me a better offer. Guys, we've got to keep awake to what's happening around us, haven't we? Because otherwise we'll be caught out. In St. Chance, we're seeking to be Christ inside and out. When Jesus was tempted in the desert, he resisted the temptations by turning to God, by quoting scripture. He wasn't sleeping in the hour of temptation. He was awake to it and ready to fight for it. And the question is, are we ready to fight for our marriages, to fight for our jobs, to fight for our children? Not against each other, but against the temptations that this life will throw at us. One last joke. The worship team back up. One last joke. A vicar parked his car on double yellow lines in a large city. He was short of time. He couldn't find a parking space anywhere. He put a note on his dashboard. I'm a vicar. I've driven round for ages. Can't find a parking space anywhere. If I don't park here, I'm going to miss my meeting. And then he wrote in big letters, forgive us our trespasses. When he comes back to the car, there's a parking ticket on the car. There's a little note next to it. He opened the note, it read like this, I'm the traffic warden, I've worked these streets for 10 years. If I don't give you a ticket, I'll lose my job. And then in big letters it said, lead me not into temptation. Folks, have a great week and be strong in God, I pray. Amen.